Power Dynamics in Relation to the Erotic Works of Helmut Newton and Igor Amelkovich by myself, Amber Nichols. There has long been a problem of differentiating between the power dynamics of erotic photography and that of pornography. It is my intention, through presenting my research project, to provide an insight into the exploitive power that's evident within erotic photography, through specifically looking at the erotic works of photographers Helmut Newton and Igor Amelkovich. Many people believe that erotic photography is just a different name for pornography. Jocelyn J. Wentland and Amy Muse wrote, "Stepping out from behind the lens, a qualitative analysis of erotic photographers. They define pornography and erotica in a vastly different ways. The definitions of both pornography and erotica involve a certain level of subjectivity due to the inclusion of the intent to arouse or titillate the viewer. From the understanding gained through my research, I have produced my own definitions. Erotica is consumed by the middle classes due to the fact that they view the works in museums, books, and through joining clubs and societies. At the center of erotica is the aspect of titillation and arousal. Pornography is consumed by the lower classes due to the material being vastly acceptable via the internet and top shelf magazines. And at the center of porn is a violent objectification. Helmut Newton's works have been criticized by feminists, applauded by male and female magazines, and sought out as reference points for aspiring photographers. Igor Amelkovich is a Russian photographer who started his erotic photography obsession back in 1999. His works consist of two interests, landscape photography and the nude. Many of Newton's images consist of semi-clad females in highly elusive locations, situated within grand, vastly rich surroundings. Since the beginning of Newton's photographic career, he had attracted both positive and negative opinions about his work. Harper recently brought together social critics to discuss an online document called The Place of Pornography. And as a result, Arir Nirir contributed this quote. Consider Helmut Newton's photographs. They treat women as objects. They are violent and they are sexually explicit. Yet they reflect a certain level of talent, more talent certainly than is on display in the pornographic magazines one can buy at newsstands. And so Helmut Newton's photographs are called erotica instead of pornography. Having read the dialogue that the Wesberg Museum produced for Helmut Newton's 2008 exhibition, another interesting viewpoint came to fruition due to the following quotation written by Carsten Arens. With his staged photographs, Newton put the self-confident sexuality of women in the picture in a revolutionary way. Newton claims to be a feminist, liberating female sexual power on the basis of depicting women as dominant. But this can be challenged in that the act of photographing these powerful women tames them. The power of the Amazon woman is controlled merely by photographing her, and this act is where the power lies. Although there is a more complex game being played, the viewer can oscillate between projecting themselves into the position of the power, the little man, being dominated, and then identify with the position of power as the spectator of this scene. Thus, he is still in charge. He gives up power to the Amazon woman and gains it back through spectating her. Newton is the architect of this space in which the viewer acts as the voyeur spectator. An interesting concept to flip the traditional values of erotic art, generally being created by men for men, was brought up in 1972 by Professor Linda Nochlin, who wrote Sexuality and the Sexual Body. First she showed a slide of a popular French illustration of a woman, nude, except for stockings, boot, and choker, resting her breasts on a tray of apples. Then she projected a photograph of a bearded young man, nude, except for sweat socks and loafers, holding a tray of bananas under his penis. Instead of the invitation "Achted upon, buy some apples," inscribed under the maiden, the man advertised "buy some bananas." Professor Linda Nochlin has clearly shown the change in the power dynamics of erotic artistic works. Back in 1972, this type of presentation to an assembly of art historians would have been unthinkable. It highlights the shift in where the power dynamics of this type of work lay. Female erotic photographer Jessica Rodder captures images that intrude the intimate scenes between two lovers. Her perspective as a woman in producing real-life erotic frames makes me question again how the power dynamics have shifted. Men create erotica for men because they have an inbuilt essence of exploitive sexual power. From a purely animalistic perspective, the male's main purpose in life is to seek out and lust over women in order to continue the reproductive cycle of human beings. It is only the social stamp that mankind has placed upon erotica that has caused this overtly exploitive power to come to fruition. The following quote from Barbara Rose's Vaginal Iconology explains further how female erotic work is aimed at detracting erotica from the male supremacy by creating work that contains little, if any, essence of a male presence. By depicting female genitals, women artists attack one of the most fundamental ideas of male supremacy, that a penis, because it is visible, is superior. At issue in Vaginal Iconology is an over-assault on the Freuder doctrine of penis envy, which posits that all little girls must feel they are missing something. This quote explains further the reasoning behind women creating these intense depictions of female genitals. They feel like they have to produce such images in order to deflect the viewpoint from the female being exploited as an object of lust or sexual desire. A counter-argument that creates an equally respectful point comes from Newton himself. When he was being interviewed by Lindsay Baker for the Guardian newspaper, she writes, "He audaciously counts himself as a feminist." Newton goes on to state, "I'm against this ghetto that women are put in, often by themselves, women photographers, women artists. What counts is the work." The point that Newton makes is the fact that the female sex put themselves into these, as it were, bracketed issues, such as penis envy, and the feeling that their sex is being overhauled by the male supremacy. Igor Malkovich's photographic works take the female form and frames them in such a way that they hold an underlining viewpoint of beauty, elegance, and form. When viewing his works, it is clear that his images do not just hold an erotic place within society, but on a broader spectrum, they incorporate the palette and thought process of a semi-traditional nudist painter. They have to admire the beauty of the nude life model posing before them in order to transfer that beauty onto the canvas. This is the talent that he portrays well within his work. When G. Malushkina reviewed Malkovich's exhibition, Body Language, he wrote an interesting opening line. "The body language exhibition of the photographer Igor Malkovich is the reminding the body has its own handle and plastique, architectonics and expressiveness. This exhibition is a kind of plastic performance, a story about forms and lines." This statement made me look at the photographs from a different perspective, a different multi-layered sensual viewpoint. I contacted Malkovich and emailed him two sets of questions, one being general questions about erotic photography and the other about his specific work. In reply to my questions surrounding the general composition of his images, he wrote, "I can find here a good, real, historical industrial landscape, so I place there a beautiful woman. If I lived on a tropical island, would be Palm, and of course emphasize the power of the female nature. This is not only flowers and dolls in the hands of men, it is force." Malkovich's works have a clear line of juxtaposition between man striving to continue to invent new industrial techniques, contrasting directly with the nude form of a female, symbolizing the very essence of a Homo sapien life cycle, the continuous birth of mankind, and the continuous advancement in industry, none of which is possible without females, and this is the force that Milkovich states above. I asked him whether, in his opinion, women hold the position of power within the human race, to which he replied, "Without beautiful women, there is no life. But the lives of future generations is worth nothing anyway." When Milkovich's works are compared to Newton's, there is a clear correlation between the erotic natures of their photography. They both brush the surface of the new BDSM culture. However, that's where the similarities end. Newton's works hold an alluring sexual appeal, with many of his images merely suggesting an outcome of sexual nature. They hint at a sadomechanism that is widely photographed today. Whereas Milkovich's works have a stronger focus on the female form, portraying the essence of powerful force hidden within women, a natural force which enables mankind to continuously evolve, thus enabling the evolution of industry. Both photographers' works provide a strong erotic impression to the viewer. But for me, what is particularly interesting is that many people don't look beyond the realization that the images are erotic. It seems that many people focus on the socially unaccepted aspects of erotic photography and don't look at what is behind the image, its meaning. The distinction of the sexualization of power is what is at stake within erotic photography. However, the power component of this type of photography is what is erotic. In relation to the boundaries between pornography and erotic photography, my opinion is clear. Pornography has evolved due to the fact that sex sells. It is produced for the masses, and the byproduct is consumerism within the images. Erotic photography works on similar principles. However, it consists mainly of varying aspects of visual titillation. It excites the mind more than the body. It involves a level of subjectivity that the mind must examine and digest before forming an arousal link with the image. In terms of Helmut Newton and Igor Milkovich's works, the exploitive power relationships differ. Newton's works exploit his personal erotic fantasies that are regularly played out in his mind. Milkovich's works, although hold essences of exploitive power, when rolled together with the beauty of the subject's form, create rich, alluring erotic frames. It's the photographer who is exploiting their subject, and it's the subject who empowers the photographer, yet takes pleasure from that exploitation, a perverse double kink.
Thank you, Amber. Next up we have Janaya Bailey.